present, who have opened the doors of her son, eliminating all means of their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply allow to drain myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Dachachami, Dutiyambi, Tatiyambi, Savaha. I return to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Dachachami, Dutiyambi, Tatiyambi, Savaha. I return to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gachachami Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Savaha. I turn to the holy order of our guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Garantha Hiridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. For it is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, the Gautama Buddha, and all the teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave omitted precepts, not to lead a honorable life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I do vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyambi satyambi sabha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from a deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undeserved consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If anything suffering is not important for humanity, we will end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over-ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall I look at this morning? Penny?
I have a maelstrom of thoughts going through right now, so I'm going to try to filter out a couple. I was thinking how ego is a possibility killer.
Ego is a possibility killer.
Yeah. And so where I got to that. So on Friday there was a climate strike in the country.
A climate strike.
Yeah, where they're led by children, led by students who walked out of schools, and people were invited to in whatever way we chose to participate. And there were huge marches all over the world.
Wow.
And we had our own relatively huge event in Angels Camp. And relatively meaning there were about 90 people that stood on the corner, and we had signs about the earth and the climate and save our planet. And it was fun. I mean, people were upbeat and excited and happy, and of course, what we're looking at now is, and sort of, and so now what? You know, so we're still in the corner. We had this great time. We made a statement. So, you know, now what? And so I watch how conditioning wants us really to say, sort of stay stuck in either that's enough, just to say that, you know, just to stand on the corner for a while. Or to say, well, but the problems are really too big, so there's really nothing we can do. And
these are some of the directions of killing possibilities.
Absolutely, yeah.
That was enough, or I mean, really the problem's just too big.
It's too big.
Yeah.
And you can do these little steps, but that your little steps don't mean anything. And, I mean, there's such a commitment, essentially, to hopelessness.
Yeah, what a downer.
On the part of conditioning.
I mean, here you start off with this climate strike going around the whole world.
Yeah.
And people standing up and saying, essentially, pay attention, take care of, save the earth.
Yeah.
And then even in Angel Camp, pretty good size of folks out there on the corners.
Biggest ever spot.
Biggest.
We usually would have 10.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, 90.
Yeah.
Versus 10. So a lot of energy and excitement.
Yes.
And, I mean, from this perspective, it has no other choice but to come in and try to just drain that off into hopelessness.
Yes. And when I can identify with that. I mean, I can feel that pressure in me. I mean, there's such a push to kind of just circle the wagons internally, you know,
uh-huh.
and protect oneself. It's such a
uh-huh.
it's such a first chakra thing, you know. It's such but what matters is that I protect myself, or I survive, and
that's where that
means. Hopelessness, yeah.
So it's like I project on the expansion, the connection. We're doing this thing,
yes.
And then it works on the process of separation by saying, well, I mean, that wasn't really enough, and
right.
I mean, your small steps don't mean anything,
right.
And that can lead us into feeling kind of separated and circling the wagons, and how do I survive?
Yeah.
Because essentially everything else is going to hunt, and there's nothing you can do about it, so take care of yourself.
Yeah, so there's, you know, ego is allergic to expansion. So there's a sense of expansiveness, and then there's such pressure to collapse.
Yeah.
The pressure, I mean, there is a sort of, hopefully not equal, but opposite pressure to collapse down. And you know, so I see it, being politically active these days, I see it in broad spectrum. In politically, but I see it, I mean, where it comes from, of course, is in each of us, and that pressure in each of us to stay small, to keep it close to the vest, and to not hope, you know, to not. I read about, as a particular candidate I haven't liked, and I read a comment about this person, and it said the person raises the possibility of possibility in them.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's part of the resistance to and that would be the possibility of possibility is exactly what ego doesn't want us to venture into at all.
Yeah.
So it's just so interesting to watch it on these different levels.
Yeah.
How the push and tug and how conditioning will make it feel like to stay small is actually a relief. You know, it's a good place. It's a safe place. It's a trustworthy place.
Uh-huh.
You know,
because you really can't count on that expansion possibility kind of deal.
You never know what's going to happen.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think what you're doing is outing its perspective, trying to get us to own that.
Oh.
Right? But as you said, I love that image of it's allergic to expansion.
Yes.
So it's got to make a case for contraction,
yep.
essentially. And then, I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, you feel a kind of relief and safety, and we can all relate to that.
Yeah.
And when we're in that perspective, it's like, yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Just kind of take care of myself, keep things close to the vest. And it's hard to catch on to that's for it.
That's right.
Yeah, and so the person gets to come and see the possibility of possibility.
Yeah.
And recognize that the thing that would be against that is not person.
Right.
It's that survival system.
Right.
And yeah. Try to do what it always does, which is contract the expansion.
Yeah, yeah. I also understand, I mean, and also I was thinking about Sherry's article on undulations, you know, and there are undulations. I mean, for everything there is a season and all of that. And so also to attend to when is it time, in fact, to rest, or when is it time to pull back a bit or withdraw a bit to recharge.
Uh-huh.
And to discern how much of that is ego,
yeah.
and how much of that is an undulation, a necessary rhythm of energy.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating, really.
Yeah, well, that right there, right, the fascination, the curiosity looking at those kinds of things is the approach that practice offers.
Yep.
So we don't have to make decisions about it. We can just look. We can talk about it in group. We can get on the recorder. You know,
mm-hmm.
talk with your reflective listening buddies. Something other than having that conversation in the head about it.
Right.
And what you're looking at is, we've talked to the chair wrote an article, and we talked about it a lot during that time of undulations. And so it's kind of almost like a natural rhythm
mm-hmm.
of, I don't know, undulations.
Energy. Yeah.
Energy, yeah. And so there may be in that undulation kind of a natural coming in and recharging. And
mm-hmm.
how might that be different than ego's contraction, getting itself saved, that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. For one thing, I think it's truly restful.
So when the quiz is, you check in, and you know,
truly restful.
It's
not,
truly restful.
It's not just
when you're recharging.
Not just a contraction.
Yeah. Anna.
That whole kind of control process of staying small is safe
mm-hmm.
is something I've been really seeing a lot about recently.
Uh-huh. It does seem a familiar thing for humans, right? That believing that mm-hmm. staying small mm-hmm. is sick, and you're calling it, it's actually a control process.
It's being controlled by ego to believe that I'm the one who wants and needs that control. And last Saturday, I had this just gigantic training workshop that I took there last Sunday, and another piece of it was that the person offering this training to me was offering ways and principles that came in through the conditioned scrambler here as ways to get more done. So if you're on your way here, you could pick up haha, and then when you're here, look at, well, what do I need for the next phase of the task, and bring that, and we were just kind of talking about those principles of a process of presence and expanded awareness. And it came in through the scrambler first as, that sounds like a way to get more done. What an interesting orientation. Why would a person want to have that as an aspiration? Right? And what I saw was, wow, a big way that I'm controlled is that I want a certain pace to doing things. So if there's a project, like, I need to be in control of the pace that it goes at in a way that keeps me feeling comfortable. Like, so, I just got an image of skiing. So instead of just, whee, like, right down the slope, just moving like this, zigzagging down, and being in control of the pace rather than just that complete abandon, right? And so it's like this conditioned fear of risk and being held back, but with the belief and identification that I want this, I want to go at this steady, sure, slow pace, because that's where I feel okay.
So the bamboozle is getting us to believe that we're the ones that want to be safe and in control, and then just seeing how that can operate. So there could be even a practice, or someone's offering a practice of being here, essentially, mm-hmm. or it could be I'm going about doing tasks, and I'm just paying attention to, it sounds like kind of life informing that. So I'm here, okay, and what's here for me to pick up to go do the, so that I'm not like running around making five trips in a conversation in the head about it, but letting life inform each step and doing those tasks, and seeing in that, there was kind of what sounds like a voice saying, boy, that's a great way to get a lot done. And kind of going, who would be interested in that?
Well, no, just like, why would a person want to have an aspiration to get more done? Why would they get it? Kind of reaction.
I see.
Oh, that's an interesting aspiration
Aspiration. And so kind of similar to what you're talking about, that, well, that's interesting, that curiosity, that openness leads to, oh, there's something going on about wanting to be at a certain pace. And in that kind of a certain pace, we could say a certain energy level or something like that. There's that control aspect again. And just, that's an image of, being at the top of the ski hill and just and letting yourself lie down. We could say being at the pace of just letting life go. Okay, I'm going to go down this hill, but I'm going to I'm going to be at something that's very comfortable for quote me.
Exactly. And there's so much about that. So it's one of the things that I love about monastic training, that it takes us beyond limitations that we couldn't see, we didn't know were there. So like this thing, I don't think I could see just going around in the world, in my life, in quotation marks, because I'd be so allowed to set my own pace, right?
There's nothing to highlight it.
Yeah.
Like I'm setting my own pace, and then the internal conversation is, well, this is keeping me safe, or this is keeping me on track, or
right.
There's lots of reinforcement for
right.
whatever we're doing.
Right.
But when you come into a place that's built like monastic practice, or come into, you know, be a visiting monk, or even on retreat,
yes.
that starts to highlight something we wouldn't be able to see otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to contrast. Wait, I'm in a process.
Right.
Where are these decisions are being made?
Right.
Where is this comfort?
Exactly. I'm in an identification that I can't see until I get taken
yeah.
beyond it, because I'm required to go beyond it. It's like the wisdom of
yeah.
no escape. So there's
yeah.
this project to do. It's
yeah.
going to happen between 9 a.m. and 12:15. There's that structure, the wisdom of no escape, and so
I am going to do the project.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So all that's left is to see, well, how is this getting done?
Yeah, exactly. How is it getting done? And to see that control that I couldn't see before.
Yeah.
What
a kindness and a gift to put someone in a place to.
Right.
You know, to come on a retreat, to do monastic training, to be a visiting monk, and have that opportunity,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and then the willingness to look and
yeah,
see.
Yeah.
And then we find ourselves, graciously, in that place of wisdom of no escape.
Right.
And in that place, there's no way, then it's almost like, the way I hear you saying it, the process we're in almost, like, separates from us a bit and gets out in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we can actually see about it. We can talk about it. We can ask about it.
Exactly. We can see it instead of seeing through it.
Exactly.
Instead of that identification with, I want this slow, comfortable pace, and yep, I know there's this next step to take on this project, but let me just hold back a moment and see what else maybe I might need to... It's like seeing that process as it's happening, rather than being identified with it as me thinking, and this is what I want, and this is what I need, and this is what makes me feel okay, and like that. It's just...
Yeah, it's that opportunity that we also talks about, is seeing the identification
right.
and the conditioning rather than seeing through it.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's so challenging to see that we're seeing through it.
Yeah.
That's not authenticity. We're looking through a lens.
Right.
And in that lens, everything seems legit.
Yeah.
Until there's a little bit of disidentification and we start to see something off here.
Right. Right. And another thing that I have heard Sherry say that dropped in around this was, you know, we want to be running as fast as we can when we fall flat on our
face. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, kind of seeing what that's pointing at that goes along with this, instead of like checking back with me in quotation marks, does this feel all right? Is this, you know, checking in with the ego conversation and conditioned mind with every step, just be running. Running as fast as you can, like down that ski slope.
Yeah. And not stopping and going, wait, that's too fast, I don't finish it.
Exactly. Let me just take a
okay. I think we better slow the rest of the time, even though we had an experience of how exhilarating that is.
Right.
To be running, you know, as fast as we can.
Yeah.
And to know, I mean, to give ourselves a chance to run as fast as we can and just smack into the ground and see we're completely fine.
Exactly. I got to spend time with a 2-year-old in the last few months and just be around her running as fast as she could and
modeling.
Falling flat on her face and being fine.
Good job. Thank you for offering that modeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you don't imagine the 2-year-old going, I'm never running that fast again.
Exactly.
They just get up and start running fast again.
Exactly. So, this is huge.
I mean, the implications, too.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that process about, okay, I'm going to go at a pace that feels good to quote me.
Right.
But it's like, where else is that? I'm operating. And
yeah.
It feels like maybe I'm practicing.
Yes.
And I'm paying attention.
Yes.
But really, I'm looking through the lens of the identity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, it's like the just seeing that just makes me that bit more available to life in that, you know, hello life, I'm available way. Not like, just takes away another those barriers.
I see. Just seeing that process, mm-hmm. and we could say getting free of it.
Right, and training with it. Training to recognize it.
And mm-hmm. practicing with it. It makes you feel like you're just that much more available to life. Mm-hmm. Meaning, let the life. Do you
think
more
about that? Yeah. So say something drops in to do, instead of that being in there putting on the brake process, mm-hmm. there's that availability to just follow up right then and, uh-huh. and do it.
Uh-huh. So there might be something to do, and maybe in that control process, I'm just going to project some sort of procrastination, mm-hmm. or I'll do it later, let me think about it.
Yep.
And instead, yep. it's here now, I'm going to follow up.
Yeah.
Now, with that prompting, mm-hmm. very much like the we're running,
yeah.
we're on the ski slope.
Exactly.
There's no who would want to kind of pull off to the side or put on the brakes or yeah. what is that?
Exactly. Right. What is that? Yeah.
And so when we notice that process, we are no longer that control process. We are the available to life process.
Yeah.
Oh, very exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi. What I heard before about the climate change rally is that conditioning for me says, oh, this is this thing that's going on over there, and you need to participate, because this is a big deal.
Uh-huh.
And yet, I didn't participate mm-hmm. because conditioning said you're not, fit from this and this. There's so many things that conditioning pulled me back and kept me at home
uh-huh.
for it. Uh-huh. No, right.
So are you saying it both says you should do this? This is really
oh, yeah.
important.
Yeah.
And then kind of play the other side, but you can't because this, and this, and this.
Right, and. And now that I'm saying this, I see that conditioning does this like all the time to me.
It's
like,
a familiar process, yeah.
You should be talking to this person. You need to call, all
yeah.
these to-dos. And then on the other side, it says, well, you don't have the right words to talk to this
yeah.
person. And you don't, you're not, you have no idea why you would even be going to something like that. Like, for example, the climate strike yesterday, or
yeah.
Friday. And you don't, conditioning just has all these conditions.
Yeah,
about how to do something, or when to do something, or
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
And it seems quite paralyzing.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it is the possibility killer.
Yeah.
And what a good example of how it uses that you voice, that clue of like, oh, we're being talked to. And so, I mean, even that first part, like, well, you should go do that.
Yeah.
And it kind of like sets something up, doesn't it? Like, you should.
Yeah.
And then, right after that.
I mean, see, even I'm like, even as you're saying that, I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what happens.
I need to go.
I should
yeah.
go.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says
I don't know what to say. I don't even have a sign. Why am I going?
Yeah.
I still eat meat. I still eat dairy. Shouldn't be in the club.
Yeah.
So
it's such an extra
I have to fly there.
Yeah. So it's got, and like you said, it's got all these conditions.
Yeah,
and it's familiar. It can happen
with
other settings, other content.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
it leaves the person feeling paralyzed.
Yeah.
I mean, you can hear it, of course.
Yeah. And I see that now, how paralyzing conditioning is. And just kind of starting to commit to a practice
yeah.
In the last several months
yeah.
Has kind of, I'm only beginning to see like when I'm swimming in conditioning,
yeah.
it seems really tricky to get glimpses of the choice of, oh, I have a choice to stay in this conditioning, or I'm glimpsing that there's conditioning.
Yeah, well, clearly, I mean, you just laid it out really clear, the duality that puts us in a place of feeling paralyzed. And you've been doing it, and you can hear the practice.
Yeah.
Right, to notice that, and you are catching, not only a glimpse in this case, it seems like you're seeing it quite clearly. And it sounds like acknowledging that there may be another possibility other than being in that kind of back and forth. You should go, but you can't for all these reasons.
I'm not sure about acknowledging a possibility.
Okay.
I'm not really... I can acknowledge that there's conditioning.
Yeah.
But... like, let's take that for example. If I had acknowledged, oh, this is all conditioning, what's the possibility here?
Yeah.
Does it mean that I go, or do I stay?
So that's where
I don't know what the possibility is, because at this point in my practice, I'm able to sometimes glimpse conditioning working, but most of the time I'm realizing I'm just in conditioning, and I'm just doing what I should be doing, or it tells me to do, or says don't do this, and there's a lot of what I heard before. There's a lot of security that conditioning tells me you're not secure, you're not safe. You need to stay at home. You need to just be small. You need to be quiet. You need to acquiesce.
You need to stay small and quiet and acquiesce, and we can project and stay in conversation with me.
Stay in conversation with conditioning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, because if you took that step out, that would be kind of taking a step out of that conversation with conditioned mind. And so where you're at in your practice is you're catching glimpses of the conversation going on, and you're not quite sure what the other option is, because it can kind of sound like it can kind of loop back in, which is, okay, I sense that there's conditioned conversation going on, it kind of feels like a duality, but then back to the content, well, what should I do? Should I go or should I not go?
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like back in that same back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And showing up and practicing.
That was really hard today. Like, I don't feel very, like, oh, I'm not up to it. You know, and then I have this whole conversation about, but I'm committed to the practice. So let's see what happens. Let's show up and see what happens.
And that's interesting. So, but I.
So then I showed up, and I was like, "Oh no, there's not very many people. I'm going to have to share." Which, you know, up until now, there's been enough people to share.
Yeah. There's a laughter here because everyone can relate to that.
Okay.
Being in that place of like, get the count and how much time is there. And,
And the fact that I just kind of started, maybe. I love to read, so I've got all these books, and then it gets confusing. So conditioning says, "Oh, these books are too confusing for you."
And you just put those down.
Yeah, you just don't understand what they're saying.
And so interesting. So again, catching on to the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And seeing it, and then it was even going on this morning. You know about should go or, but
right.
I mean, I'm not really up to it.
Right.
And it's interesting when we look at other possibilities, and you'll have to take a look for yourself, but it sounded different when you said, but I'm committed to going and I'm going to show up and see what happens. That sounds different than that back and forth that we're hearing. It sounds like a different voice.
I might be a different voice.
Yeah.
It could be a different voice.
It sounds different. It sounded like it was the way out of that. And then you were here. And then it kind of was like, oh no, we know.
Right, and then, it, you know, I went back into conditioning, but but I'm still queer.
Well,
and
you're not
always
here. You put your hands up.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like another getting out of that
mm-hmm.
and doing what that you were saying before. I'm just going to show up and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to put my hands up mm-hmm. and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that like? Putting your hands up and seeing what happens. Like, you know, what happens?
Well, there's a lot of nervousness and anxiousness and,
uh-huh.
and things that kind of go along with having to speak up in,
mm-hmm.
in a group of people that, that you know, that I perceive are going to judge me
mm-hmm.
because that's what, how I go through life.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to speak up because I'm going to be judged. Or
yeah.
I'm not going to go to that rally because somebody's going to yell at me out of the car.
Uh-huh.
Or,
yeah.
And I can't, my psyche doesn't melt.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do. And we can see, as you've been describing this morning, where that judgment is coming from. It's constantly judging us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's something about the, well, I'm going to go.
Here.
And then here I am, and
yeah.
I'm speaking now.
Yeah.
And even though there's this anxiety and fear, something's showing up and talking right now.
Yeah, something is showing up.
Yeah. I mean,
right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a good point, and maybe I can talk to that something.
Yeah.
Or get more information from that.
Yeah, I get to know that something.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been doing any recording on this thing?
You know, I have been, and I for different reasons, realized that I haven't in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I think it's time, maybe. Maybe
yeah.
I'll pick it up again and see.
And I don't know, there's support for that too. There's a class, I don't know if you knew, there's actually going to be a class starting pretty shortly in October, and it's not up on registration yet.
Oh, it's not on registration?
It's not on registration yet, but it will soon be.
Oh, good, thank you.
You might check the livingcompassion.org
mm-hmm.
site. And I mean, just the thing that came up might be fun is, so the voices were saying all this to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, well, but you can't go because you're not up to it, and da-da-da, and well, I went anyway. And then it said, hey, now I'm going to be judged, and da-da-da-da-da, but I put my hands up and moved anyway. Kind of like, that's actually what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it kept making me basically all these threats about what's going to happen to you, and that's why you can't participate.
Mm-hmm.
But then you didn't participate.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and to be able to say it and then be able to listen to that.
Yeah.
And to me, it brings us back to what we were talking about with the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when to stop that.
Perfect.
what I usually talk about is some version of I don't want to, I don't feel like. And a kind of step off of that for me is I can't because I have to do this for the sake. There's something preliminary that I have to do before I do that. Something related.
It's one of those conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah. First you got to do this, then you can do that thing. Then.
Yeah. And it's logical to make sense that you do this first thing before you do that. And I don't do either. So I'm seeing it as a bamboozle.
So that's kind of that, I don't know if that relates to what we were hearing earlier, but that's kind of that break or that, you know, so first you have to do this and then you can do that. But then really what's happening is you don't get to do either.
Yeah. And another way that it can is that another way that the bamboozle kind of works is I've talked about this before, I'm supposed to do everything really fast. And if someone, someone up in the corner doing this observing me, and we would say, wow, she's moving fast. But inside, I'm going fast.
So you hear that you should do everything fast.
Yeah.
And inside you can feel like going fast. But your sense is if somebody or something was looking in the corner of the room, they wouldn't have an observation.
It wouldn't look like I was going fast.
It wouldn't
look
like
my experience is fast.
Uh-huh.
And it's... The more aware I am, it's very familiar to me going fast. And I know it my whole life.
Uh-huh.
And going fast inside. And really just bottom line, what it functions as is just a distraction to be not present.
So going fast is actually a distraction from looking
for my
presence. And it's been going on your whole life. It's familiar.
Yeah. And it actually stops me from doing stuff. Just stop that. I want to do the dishes. I don't know. Something.
Yeah. Just kind of daily task.
It's like the parts of it are just... It's just stuff. But actually what I'm seeing is, you know, I swore years ago I'd never talk about this again. I want to talk about it one more time.
There's a lot more room out here, isn't there, Jane, than in here? Go for it.
I'm not a good housekeeper. Or another way of saying it is, I don't value tidiness. Okay. Right until I do, right until it kind of reaches a point where, well, I hope I don't die and people come in and see this kind of thing. And so.
And that's the kind of sticks yet, like.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it actually kind of helps me get more centered about it. And I find I want to. Tidy things up.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when you get more centered about it, you find that you actually just want to tidy things
yes,
up.
Yeah. And the thing that will kick in is going really fast. And it stops me. It stops me from... And I don't know quite the mechanism how it stops me, but it does. It's too hard.
Yeah.
I have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Something karmic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not. Something about actually going through the process of going too fast actually stops you from doing it.
No, the process of being told I have to do it fast.
Well, that's an important part,
right?
That you're being told that you have to do it fast. I was going to ask kind of more about what doing fast things is like. And that's an aspect that you're being told to do it fast.
Right. Right, this is the belief, it's just there. Okay, let's clean this, I'm going to clean this place up. And then just go at it like it's got to be done. It took 3 weeks for it to get like this. And you've got to get it fixed in 30 minutes. And it just becomes overwhelming.
Yeah, well, of course that is overwhelming.
Yeah.
Some things are 3 weeks to get to a certain place, and you're supposed to clean up in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So part of it, the going fast, is it sets up unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, I think it is unrealistic expectations. I think that's what it is.
That is what it is. That is
yeah.
the main quality
yeah.
of it.
And it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, she'll actually, because I actually enjoy it. I enjoy the cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get past
yeah.
that,
yeah.
we do it.
Yeah.
And it knows if we push it really fast, she won't do it and she won't have that enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like So it knows. So to set up something where it sounds like almost like this has to be, this is, you know, now kind of thing, and then it pushes you, and you kind of are tensing up your body, like, you know, and you have to do this huge thing in a short amount of time, and it knows that if you go through that process, you won't enjoy it. It'll be suffering. But what's true?
I won't do it.
You won't do it. And but when you do it, when you're actually in the cleaning,
when
the intention's not on fast anymore.
When the fast sensations in the body, when you do it fast, get it done, thoughts and sensations overwhelm. And I think it's what we just talked about. And there's some, when there's the distance, when I can see it,
yes.
And oh, there's that, that's the why. Then one could try the other all the time. Well, I've got everything I need for dusting and cleaning and putting things away. Here's another aspect of it. I don't know what to do with this stuff. I don't know what to do with dirty, damaged books sitting on the table. and all of these, I don't know what to do with them. I look at them and I don't know, and stuff. That stops me.
Yeah.
That stops me every bit as cold in my tracks as do it really fast. Does. Oh, and the two of them together. Just, you know,
double punch. And you have experiences, it sounds like, of both what we were talking about, which is seeing through the identity, the beliefs around you have to do it fast, or in that latter example, that one around, which we can ovulate, where there's something like, in this case, there's these damaged hooks, and I don't know what to do with it. And we, what is it? Books. Sorry. And it's like, I imagine, like, kind of a paralysis. Like, I don't know what to do with it. And that can stop you just as much as going through the past. Yet you also have an experience that we describe as feeling more centered. There's some distance. You're seeing, oh, that's that fast thing again. And in that place, there's all the opposite, right? There's all the time in the world. You have all the cleaning things that you need. And you actually enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
It's really that kind of light room, dark room, and the awareness of both.
Yeah.
Really good to see.
And another piece, just as you were talking, the next step, the next place it goes is it's something about you can't get rid of stuff. You can't, there is no getting rid of so it might as well stay here. You know, it's the thing about it takes stuff. Trash that you create is still trash. You know, and wherever you can take it away from your house and put it and give it to the people who do something with it, but then they got it. So it might as well stay here.
So we can talk about it over and over again.
And trash is one thing, you know very well that I do send the trash out. But there's all kinds of stuff around my house, in my house, that have no function. And and I don't know what to do, and so they just, I just leave them there, because somebody else will have to deal with it. If I had taken somewhere, why is it better to take it out of this house, this big house where one person lives, and give it to somebody else to deal with it? Leave it there.
And so, June, does that process feel like feel more like the fast process, or more like the seeing a process?
It's just the next. It's just one of the many steps that will trigger. And the whole notion of tidying up the house arises. And I really don't know what to do about that, except be less of a consumer. Get less stuff, and then you'll have once it's no longer useful. You won't have to do it. There's nothing for you to do with it. So that's probably a pretty good
idea. And does it seem like that with that idea that there's just this stuff that I can't get rid of, and I mean, if I throw it away, now somebody else just has to deal with it. Well, maybe there's a way that I don't have. Does that feel like, it's going to lead you with it. Does it feel like that's happening in a conversation with conditioned mind, or does that feel like that's outside of that?
Oh, it's definitely, it's just one more step in the boundaries. And I was definitely conditioned to that.
Yeah.
It's extremely familiar. It's a train that when it leaves a station, I get on it over and over again. And all of those, everything I've talked about, is just stops on the way. Those stations, places that just things that will come up to keep me in the identity of a person who either doesn't like to clean house or isn't good at it. Or they just care about
what I do with things. Those are all the stations on conditions train, and what you're looking at is seeing that, noticing that. And it sounds like seeing the ways that you can step off of that train.
Yeah. And it's, I just, if I never stepped off that train, I wouldn't be, my house would be completely non-functional.
And we could say you wouldn't be here either.
So I guess it's grace that every now and then that gets me off of the platform. Says, no, that's just, this is all conditioning.
Yeah.
It's just, there it is again, same stuff, nothing new, totally familiar.
So you're aware of a process where you'll get nudged, and it sounds like there's a response to the nudge of, hey, this is that same, this is happening in a conversation, it's the same stuff, and, you know, we've seen it, and it sounds like something, kind of an invitation to do something different.
Yeah. So the last couple of days, I've been doing this whole last week. I've been just saying no to the urgency.
To the past.
And every day this area gets done, and this really gets done, and this really gets done.
Stepping outside of that urgency of the conditioning by saying no. And what happens from that is this area gets done, and then this area gets done, kind of bit by bit. Something more, much more appropriate to what's actually possible.
And what occurs to me, I'll end with this, but what occurs to me is that process, that urgency, what process probably functions in other areas. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't noticed it. Maybe it's not as well. It's immediately apparent. My experience is it is all kind of, those conditionings that all that it starts rolling about this, they're really about that.
Yeah, it's kind of what we've been talking about. Once you, you know, catch on to a process, like when we're talking about control or being kind of back and forth with duality, we can start to kind of suspect, I wonder where that process might be playing elsewhere in addition to this. And then, you know, we can kind of see. And maybe it's a little bit quieter, more subtle. Maybe a content that just didn't kind of gotten highlighted yet. Sounds like being aware of the process as you are, and that questioning of maybe it is operating somewhere else. Yeah, then we can do the rubbing our hands together and like, yeah, now we're kind of on the lookout for it.
You know, I just love that movement. I can feel like how energizing it is to move from the hunted to the hunter. We sometimes talk about it,
yeah,
where we're on the lookout.
Yeah.
We're on the lookout, and it becomes an exciting adventure. It kind of, to me, what just sort of did is it goes along with I love you exactly as you are, and that helps you be any way that you want to be. And that hunter place, it's like your goodness is already established. There's nothing wrong with you, and we're on the lookout for all of these ways that you're made to suffer, these ways that you get controlled and limited,
yeah.
And, you know, it's...
Because you're loved.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and we want goodness, we want freedom for you, and so that process that we talk about moving from the hunted, and that, I mean, maybe you can help out, but that's kind of that place of, we're kind of trying to avoid... the voices of, you know, and threats, and maybe we're going along with, okay, I'll just stay small because I don't want to, you know, be embarrassed or have that thing happen to me, so I'll just, and then there's that movement, as we were just hearing in the previous, well, wait a second, and there's that, it's a shift, it's a clear shift, and we can feel the energy in the shift, where it's like, I know something about this process, and I'm now on the lookout for it. And there's something about that that's really in line with I love you exactly as you are, and I'll help you be any way that you would like to be.
Yeah.
Which is, it's totally fine. That, of course, you're a human, you're a conditioned human being.
Yep.
This is what comes fun.
Right.
You're going to be caught in these things.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to help you look out for those things.
Yeah.
Because I'm here to support you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then it's like you're part of a team rather than being isolated, hunted.
Yeah.
Where part of the hunted that I was seeing as you were describing it is also being beaten for the things that it gets you to do, or being beaten for being that way that it says that you are, or being beaten for not being able to get past this whatever.
Yeah. It seems to use anything to beat us down. Were you going to say one more thing? And when you said we get to do it as a team,
right?
I could feel that shift again,
right?
Because the being hunted is being isolated,
exactly.
Being in that process of separation, it's the thing that won't allow us to participate. It gets us to stay in with it.
Yeah.
And then when we see that there's something else available to support us, then we make that movement out of isolation into connection, into support.
Right.
Which is what I suspect everyone here in this room knows, and everyone on this listening to this recording knows.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't be in this group.
Right.
You wouldn't be listening to this recording.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's a co-e possibility.
Yeah.
And we're practicing it, we could say right now.
Right. Right, exactly, because the team gets really big, doesn't it? So there's the, like, authentic human being and mentor and unconditional love, intelligence that animates. There's the team of Sangha, it's just, the team is, like,
it's
infinite.
That's where I was getting. I love that as you're talking, the we gets really big. You know? So there's this practitioner, and then there's the mentor, that relationship there, and then there's this group, and then there's the larger song, and then you can almost, how would I imagine, was this ripple out effect that it's infinite.
Yeah.
That expanding the awareness of who is the we just can go on for as long as apparently you can see, including past spiritual heroes and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we can call them or...
Oh, absolutely.
So Gandhi, what would you...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. And it's like, as I'm having this experience of working with this particular control process that I was talking about, I can feel the movement between those two places, the hunted, the like, if information comes in internally or from external people, then if I'm in that kind of isolated, identified as ego, hunted place, then the information comes in as, there's something wrong with you, why can't you just kind of get over this, get past this? Like hurry up, there's a kind of both an urgency of paralysis, you know, so yeah. And then in that we place, all the information comes in as life saying, I love you exactly as you are and I'll help you be any way that you want to be, whether that's from a mentor, from an external teacher, from Samba, from wherever. It's like part of the experience this week has been trained to recognize when is that I'm doing my calibrating hands trained to recognize when there's that contraction into that hunted and turning the attention to that love, that unconditional love that is embracing us, animating us always, is not conditional on whether not conditional on anything.
Yeah.
That's very
much. Would you say a little bit more about what that's like to be in that place where there's no condition? That we're, you know, there's kind of that embracing, there's that support. What's that like?
Yeah, well, it's like I can totally rest into being here. So when I'm in that hunted place, like there's something wrong with me and I've got to fix it, when attention's in relationship with ego and conditioned mind, it's like there's an urgency, like I can't relax into here because there's something wrong with me and I can't fix it, and it's like a struggle. In that completely embraced in love, I do this in the daily love letter, that's often something that comes up, like you're embraced, you're loved, you are home with a capital H, you can relax. You are not a problem to be fixed. Ego isn't a problem to be fixed. And I can actually feel the embrace, you know, just like enfolded in love. It feels warm. Mm-hmm. It feels alive. Like that.
Yeah, you like that. Just those little things.
It's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're here, we're super clear about it.
Exactly.
Right? And if one keeps coming up, I don't know if it's in what you practice, is what you have, but something about the light room, dark room, and having, you know, so in this case, hunted or being the hunter, and what are those qualities mm-hmm. and characteristics? Because mm-hmm. what I'm hearing in the group this morning is like, sometimes I don't know.
Right.
I'm identified. And so what are the characteristics of being hunted? You know, like in this case, like there's an urgency.
Yeah, I feel watched.
I feel watched. There's a paralysis. Mm-hmm. There's a tension. There's mm-hmm. There's something wrong with me.
Right.
And then in the being hunted, there's an expansion. There's a we. There's a warmness.
Yeah, feeling seen instead of watched.
Feeling seen instead of watched.
Yeah.
I mean, I just imagine, I'm going to do this, having it up in my hunted, and it's kind of a check-in.
Yeah.
Like, where am I?
Yeah.
Because you really are in the dark room or in the light room. And it's like,
right, there is no threshold.
There's no, it doesn't seem like it. So this is kind of like, oh gosh, I'm feeling a little urgent and my body's tense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, I mean, right there, for me, the shift is changing.
Right.
You know, and it's like a million practices you could do.
Right.
Get out that love letter and, you know, read that again, or, you know, put on those recordings, or go out and the trees and mm-hmm. notice the birds and hear the feel of the air on your skin. I mean, there's just so much to assist us to make that movement that everyone's been talking about.
Right. And last night I picked up the communication book, which I just, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And there's an amazing image in that of ego's tiny claustrophobic world, and inside the tiny claustrophobic world there's all of that, all of those messages of, you know, what's wrong, why can't you get it right, and just that's exactly, I mean, what it feels like, a tiny claustrophobic world that I am struggling to get out of, and as I struggle to get out of it, it's getting tinier and more claustrophobic and just worse. And just that principle of, you know, resist not evil, there's nothing to fix, nowhere to get, no one to be, just here.
Well, you really feel that, even just how you're talking, that there's that tension. I think that's another image of disruption, and there's nothing wrong with you. Every attempt when we're in that place to get out is like being in quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that struggling, you just feel like you're sinking down further. And then there's this other place where it's a lot slower. There isn't that urgency, and it's, you know, calming and supportive.
Yeah.
It's grounding.
Yeah.
And like as you're saying, we can actually learn to calibrate to what's what, and it's a practice that, as far as I can tell, it's kind of infinite.
And moment by moment.
And moment by moment.
It's not like, woohoo, lights are on.
Got it. Yeah. Well, and that's to me, that's the gift. It requires us to be here moment by moment to practice that.
To be participating.
To participate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing I'm hearing this morning. Like, I really want to participate.
Yeah.
And those voices are actually always just trying to get us to stop us from participating.
Mm.
Yeah. And now you can see one pretty human, because everyone is here this morning participating.
Yeah. It just gives me chills listening to people too. Mm-hmm. That, like, triumph of the human spirit, like what we're up against, and the showing up that we do is just chills.
Yeah, inspiring, isn't it? Like what we're up against, and then showing up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you all.